Well, the past several weeks we've been talking about financial liberation. Financial liberation. Liberty from financial bondages. If there's anything that I have learned in dealing with people, it is that most Christians are in financial bondage. They cannot really enjoy the abundant life that God has given to us because of the bondages that we are in. And I found out, too, that it's basically a generational thing, that most often you'll find a family will hand down whatever financial mentality that they have to the next generation, to their children, and they will hand it down to their children. I've made the statement to you that I am sure that God wants millions of dollars to flow through you and through me. He wants us to change the mentalities of whatever that we have about money to where it is biblical. You have heard it stated or basically taught that Christians should be poor. This is basically a thrust against greed. As preachers try to preach against greed, they make it come across like if you're interested at all in money, then you're sinning. That is not biblical. You saw that over the past several weeks, and I'll hit it again today. If it's spiritual to be poor, why are there so many scriptures then in the Bible teaching us to give to the poor? Why not just leave them poor so they can stay spiritual? Is that right? I mean, if a person should be poor to be spiritual, why then does the Bible instruct us to make sure that we remember the poor, that we give to the poor? Why not just leave them poor so they can remain spiritual? It is not biblical. You saw that last week and the week before, and again you'll see it this week. God wants us free from financial bondages. We started several weeks ago, and it sort of got kicked off on a message called the Same Old, Same Old. When I showed you that God's plan for us to have an abundant life and have a fun life and to stop and to break up the Same Old, Same Old is to go out two, three, four times a year on vacations or seminars or get with the people of God and have fun. God has that into His program. It's on tape and it's all in teaching, and I can't go back and get all that. You understand. There's an 8-1-1 principle that we then took off on the next week. And I showed you that God's understanding, and I'm changing the titles of all these messages so that they'll have some sort of catch to them, but making the tithe correct. I found out that most Christians really don't understand the tithe. They know they're supposed to give the tithe, but they really don't understand that there's a way of making the tithe correct. You've been taught all your life that you need to give 10% to God, but you've never been taught, unless you come here, I guess, that you understand the scriptures that I showed you, that you're supposed to give 10% to yourself. That if you don't do that, if you don't work the tithe correctly in your life, there's a 10%, and it's all on tape, 8-1-1. If you don't understand that, if you don't understand that, you've got to get some money for yourself and therefore work in your finances so that you can take some of your money and enjoy it, you'll never experience financial liberation. You'll always be bound up. So we talked about taking an understanding. And Lance, I guess Turk Garzon gave you this magazine. Where did I put that magazine? Yeah, here it is. Is this the one that Turk gave? It was laying on the counter, so I picked it up and started reading it just yesterday, I think. It was Common Sense. And here, what it is basically give you 10 principles on how to experience financial liberation. And we're going to talk a little bit of some of his figures. But I was so interested because the second principle that this guy gives you is pay yourself first. And guess how much he says to pay yourself first? Huh? 10%. Amazing. The children of the world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. Isn't that something? The world knows this. Pay yourself first. In other words, get your finances in order where no more than 80% goes out towards bills. 10% is God's, it's holy. 10% is yours, it's just as much yours and just as holy. It's part of the tithe. Make sure there's some left over to give to the poor. And then the rest of it, you can do what you want to with it. Now, that's if you want to stay quota stat. Just stay like you are. But if you want to have an abundant life, there are some more principles, and that's what we're looking at. Next week, we talked about make friends with unrighteous mammon. Luke 16 clearly says, take money and use it to ensure your future. Is that what it says? Again, I can't go back and rehash all this, but it says, Jesus says clearly, take money, make friends with it, use it. Make friends with unrighteous mammon to ensure your future. Learn how to use money. Most Christians are all tied up and working for money. But what the Bible says is take money and make it work for you. What's this? Make friends with it. Take it and use it. That's the whole story there of the unjust servant. He takes his money, takes his master's money, in fact, and uses it to ensure his future. He takes the money and he invests it and makes friends with it so his future will be ensured. And it's in this passage in Luke 16 where it says that the children of the world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. The children of the world are wiser about money and ensuring their future than Christians are. That's what Jesus said in Luke 16. On tape, and do it again. Then last time we talked about from Luke 19, and we talked about handling money, making money compound. Here is the story where Jesus says that the Lord went on a long journey and he called 10 servants and he gave each one of them one piece of money. After a long time, after he has claimed his kingdom, he comes back and he has a day where he causes them to account for themselves. The first guy comes up, he has taken the one and he has compounded it, and now he has how many? 10. Second guy comes up, he has taken his one, he has compounded it, now he has 5. He says, well done. Well done. Because you have taken your money, you've handled it well. Because of this, because I have been able to trust you in little things, now I will take it and I'll give you authority over 10 cities. Because you have taken it and done well with little things, I will give you authority over 5 cities. And then it gives you the example of the third guy that comes up. Third guy comes up, he's taken the piece of money, he's wrapped it up in a napkin and he's hid it. And the Lord comes back and he says, you sorry rascal. At least you could have took it and put it in the bank. At least you could have got interest on it. Is that what he said? Now, Jesus said this. I didn't say this. Understand, this is not my thoughts. These are straight out of the scriptures for you. Jesus said, you got to learn how to handle money. And if you learn how to be faithful in these little things like money, then I can trust you with 10 cities. I can trust you with 5 cities. But if you're not faithful, then I can't trust you with anything. So money is very important in understanding in the scriptures that God is not just happy with us coming up, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about it today, of just handing back to Him what He gave us. He wants us to take it and compound it. At the least, get interest on it. At the least. But what He really wants is a compounding of it. Now, Matthew 25. Jesus has just told. In Matthew 23, he's talked to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, woe unto you. Matthew 24, he talks about, again, destruction of Jerusalem and the day of that generation that he's speaking to. And then in 25, he gives us some parables. And again, he talks about money. So what we're going to talk about today is making the dynamics of money work for you. Money has a dynamic about it. There are things that money just does. That money does that nothing else can do. Money has a dynamic about it. It works something. It can do something that nothing else can do. It has its own dynamics. And so what I want to talk about probably this week and next week is the dynamics of money. Making the dynamics of money work for you. Matthew 25. Now, I've just mentioned compounding. And I'm flipping through these. And I think, Turk, was this from you? This is out of the newspaper. And it talks about here, and I'm going to be talking about this today, early bird IRAs provide flying start for young savers. Now, listen to me. What he's talking about here is getting an early start on your savings, understanding, and I'm making the statement again, because I want to make sure that we get it. God wants millionaires. He wants us to get the mentality of millionaires. Every person here, I'm going to say it now, and I want to prove it to you. Every person here can leave the next generation as a millionaire. You can break an impoverished mentality over your family and leave your children as millionaires. Now, what he's talking about here is young people, such as in the 20s, he uses the idea of 26 years old. If a person starts at age 26 putting away $2,000 in an account, earning a 10% return, the contributions around $2,000 annually for the next 40 years, the amount will grow to about $1 million, $973,000. When the saver is 65, of total contributions of only $30,000. That is the miracle of compounding interest. That's what Jesus is talking about. Take one, make 10. How does it work? Miracles, compounding interest. We're going to be talking about this today. Alternately, if a saver puts aside just $10,000 in five annual installments between the ages of 14 and 18, how young you get started means so much between the ages of 14 and 18, the account will be worth $1.18 million at age 65. It is possible, listen to me now, it is possible for us to break a impoverished mentality of our people and our generations and for us to leave our children with the mentality of millionaires. Is that all right? You want to talk about this today? Are you here? Matthew 25. Verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Now, let's go ahead and put this in perspective. Who would be this man traveling into the far country? Pardon? Would be the Lord Jesus. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. The New American Standard Version says his own possessions. But what it means is his mammon. He took his mammon and he delivered it to his servants. And he says, here's my goods. Now, how many know that that's what Jesus did? Did Jesus do that? Did he give us everything that he had? He gave it to us. He is in you. He's given us his mind, his abilities, his talents. And delivered to us his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Now please notice from this verse that to one he gives five talents, to another one he gives two talents, and to another one he gives one talent. But did everybody get something? Was there anybody slack? Now one has five talents. This would be a guy who whose abilities are trained in this area. Perhaps he was trained by his parents to understand the dynamics of money. Perhaps he went to school as Jody is, as David is, as some of the young people are going to learn the dynamics of how money works. And Jody's becoming a CPA. He should learn all these things. His children should be multimillionaires. My grandchildren should be multimillionaires. That's right. Am I right? And they learn how to do this, so he gives them five because he's got the ability to compound this interest, to compound this money. Another guy he gives two. This guy is not quite as sharp as the others, but he got something on the ball, and he gives him two. Then he gives everybody something. At least he gives poor old me one. Okay? But he gives everybody something to do something with. Now understand that you and I have been given something to do something with. Now, I want to make sure that we understand the word talent there. Sometimes we preach this as gifts or you know, our tongues, interpretations, prophecies, those kinds of things. But what I really want us to understand is it really does mean a certain coin. It's a coin. A talent is a coin. That is what the Greek word means. It's a coin. It's money. So he gave each one money. Verse 16. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. Now, did he compound these? Did he get interest or did he multiply? Did he keep it, put it in a napkin? What did this guy do? Would you say that he compounded it? He took what he was given and he made more of them. He compounded them. He took five and made five more. That would be 100-fold there, correct? We're having a little trouble trying to figure this out. He had five, he made five, that's 100-fold. That's not 100-fold. Pardon? It's 100%. Yeah, we're dealing with it. Anyway, he took five and he made five more. Verse 17. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two that he compounded. And he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Reckoning day. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained besides them five talents more. And his Lord said to him, what? Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Let's stop there. I want you to see that this guy was faithful over a little bit. So he was given rulership over a lot. That's a principle in the Scriptures. You can be faithful with unrighteous mammon. God can take us and use us to give us a rulership and authority over a lot. Same principle in Luke 19. Guy was given one, made 10. Because he was faithful in the little, God made him ruler over 10 cities. There's a principle that if we can be that money is a test for us, that we need to understand that authority for eternity rests on how we handle money. That right here, this is concerning money. And hearing the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord," is concerning money. Now I want to make sure we get this. I've had a little money, and then there's been times since we've been married, we didn't have any money. I was much happier when I had a little money. How many recognize that thought? Do you understand that? You've been in a place where you didn't have any money. Wasn't a lot of joy there, was it? How am I going to eat? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to educate my children? How am I going to get to work? How am I going to buy gas? How am I going to do anything? Not a lot of joy when you don't have some money. But if you have some money, he says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Do you see that Jesus Christ is connecting joy and money? Now, make sure we understand. We're not talking about what Timothy talks about, greed. Don't be desirous of filthy lucre. That's the only place it's called that. Understand, we're not talking about greed now. We're taking money and compounding it. We're taking money and using money. Not to keep for ourselves. That's greed. Greed is when you want it for yourself. You've got to have something right now. What these guys are doing is they're taking their money and they're compounding it for the kingdom of God or for whatever sake, but they're not getting it for themselves. Do you understand this? Do you see this? There's a difference. There's a vast difference. Money is being compounded. Understand that the first guy says, You gave me five, I took it and I compounded, I made five more. Now Jesus says to him, "Well done, you good servant, you faithful servant, you've been faithful in the little things, I'm gonna make you faithful in a lot. Now come on into some joy." It's fun to have some money. It's a lot more fun to have a little money than it is not to have any money. You understand that? Verse 21. And the Lord said unto him, "Well done." Okay, verse 22. He also that had received two talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I gained two other." Did he compound? And he said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things." Make that ruler over many things just a little bit. Do you understand that people that have money have a lot more influence than people that don't have money? I'm talking, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven." We're here on the earth. We're here on the earth in a worldly system. You're in the world, you're not of the world. For us to really have influence in the world, it's going to take some money. Now, I don't know if you're relating to this or not. But we're talking about taking over. We're talking about being influential. We're talking about taking the world. We're talking about bringing the kingdom of God. But it's going to take some influence. It's going to take some people that have been given some influence. And with money comes influence. Do you see this here? Because he had money, he was given influence. Because he was able to take some money and multiply his money, then God was able to give him some influence in the system. And then joy comes. Now, again, notice that it's not filthy lucre, it's not greed. It's taking money and compounding it. It's how he handled the money that Jesus is commending him for. Now, verse 24. Then he which had received the one came and said, "Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed." Now, according to the Bible there, will the Lord reap and gather where he hasn't labored? Pardon? Should we understand that principle that Jesus doesn't always want us out laboring, but that the money should be laboring? The money should be seen maybe as an employee that we put to work. That just because we don't have to go out and labor to get it. It can be working for us, that we can harvest and reap in places that we really haven't labored. He says, "I know that you do this, Lord. I know that you're a man who can reap where you haven't labored, and you can harvest where you haven't sowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, here it is. Here's what you gave me. I didn't better myself. I didn't better my family. I didn't better my church. I didn't better the kingdom of God. But I didn't lose it. I still got it. Here it is. If you want it, here it is, Lord. It's what you gave me. It's exactly to the penny of what you gave me. Here it is. I didn't do any better than my daddy did. I didn't do any better than anybody. You know, I'm here. I am. But here it is. Here's your money. And what does the Lord say? What did he say? You read your Bible. Don't look at me. Now look at the Bible. Now this is very serious. Very, very serious. You wicked, lazy servant. You slothful servant. At least you could have took it and put it in the bank and got me a little interest. That's the least you could have done. What Jesus is saying to us here is that at least, that's the least that we can do, but at least we need to have it doing some kind of compound. Now, some of us have savings accounts. And your savings account right now is getting about 2.8% if it's in the bank. Something like that. Around 3. That's the least he wants to see. The least. What he really wants to see is it compound. The Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money in the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. Now, some of us, I commented on this last week, I'm going to comment on it again. Sometimes we wonder, well, why is it that rich people keep getting rich and poor people stay poor? It's because rich people continuously are using their money. They're taking it and they're compounding it. Therefore, what should be coming to you is going to them because they're using their money, and all we're using it for is for greed or for ourselves. And so the Bible principle is that, okay, take it from this one and give it to this one. Take it to him that won't compound it and won't use it and give it to the person that will. And the rich keep getting richer and the poor stay poor. That's what the Bible says. And take the servant and do what with him? And do what? Does that mean he's going to hell? Well, it doesn't say hell. But you'll live in such bondage. You'll be gnashing at your teeth, wondering, how am I going to make this payment? You'll be grinding and living in such pressures of finances that you just won't know what's going on tomorrow. You'll be weeping. And would you admit that there has been a point in time in your finances that you literally weeped about them? I have. I've weeped about my finances. My God, what's going on? And I would cry, you know, there's nothing left. And I'd gnash my teeth and I'd beat on the desk. You ever done that, Jim? Yep. And the weeping and gnashing. So, three-part question. What does the Lord want you to do? What is the will of God for you concerning money? Multiple choice. A, put it in the bank and get interest. B, take it and spend it on yourself. Or C, take it and invest it and compound it. Which one? A, B, or C? That is God's will for your life. He wants you to be rich. He wants you to be wealthy. He has given you the power, Deuteronomy, to make wealth. Jesus says, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. I don't want to be poor. And I don't want you to be poor. And I want this to be the last generation that has to be poor. Do you? Now, in this book also, there is this very interesting... Would you pull this down? Don't let Monty pull it down. We fixed it though, Monty. You see, we got it fixed. It's up there now, and I don't think it'll ever have to be come down again. There's this interesting miracle of compound interest. And I'm going to give you two individuals, individual A and individual B. And I want to show you what they did with their money. These two individuals are 22 years old. Now, many of us are older than 22. Many of us are younger than 22. Some of us are right around 22. But all of this will apply to all of us. If I do what I'm about to show you right now, I will have several hundred thousands of dollars by the time I'm 65 years old. If you're 22, you do what I'm about to show you, you will be a millionaire by the time you retire at 65. A millionaire. You will leave your children an inheritance. You will create something, a wealth for the righteous. Breaking of financial bondages will stop right now. You're the last generation that has to be poor. And it really doesn't cost that much to do it. Can you see that back there? I'll go through it with you, but I copied these out and got them on this page best I could. And I'll tell you what it says. Individual A, right here, at age 22, began an IRA. Began thinking about his future. And he began to invest $2,000 a year, which is tax deferred. You don't have to pay taxes on it. $2,000 a year in a retirement fund for himself. And he put $2,000 a year in it for 6 years. A total investment of $12,000 and then quit at age 22. Every year for 6 years, he invested $2,000 for a total investment of $12,000 and then he quit. And at age 65, he had $1,348,440 at an investment rate of 12%. How many could handle a little bit of that? Could you? Taking $12,000, putting it in an IRA, letting the miracle of compound interest begin to develop, and when you're 65 years old, you're a millionaire. You don't have to touch it. You can live on the interest of $1 million and live well. What would the interest be on a $1 million? Anybody know? $120,000 a year? That'll work. I can do fine with that. All right, this other individual. Now, this guy here, he took the first 6 years and spent his $12,000 on himself. He didn't save anything. How many can relate to this, huh? Yeah, buddy. Now, he took his first 6 years and he spent his $12,000 on himself. But he got the mirror. The preacher preached the message and he got the idea and God made it real to him. And he began an IRA and he started investing him $2,000 a year for 37 years. Now, it was a little harder on him, but for the next 37 years, he put $2,000 in the IRA for the next 37 years. And then when he retired at 65, he had $1,363,780. Now, you can relate to one or the other of them, but at any way you want to go, folks, we can do it. We can do it. And God wants you to do it. Is that clear? You can take it right now, young people, start you an IRA, work while you're living with mom and dad, invest it for only 6 years, $2,000 a year, put it back, you retire, you'll be a millionaire. Kirk. $6 a day, 30-something, I figured it up. 30-something, right at $40 a week. Is that cool? And it just is not that much. I don't know, I don't know why we have a hard time with this. I think it's because of the guy that didn't have a whole lot on the ball was given only one deal, and it's harder sometimes for the people that don't have a lot than it is for the people that have a lot. The compound. I don't know if I made that clear to you. But the guy that didn't have much was the guy that didn't do much. And it's because of his abilities, the abilities that he has. He didn't have the ability. It wasn't handed down to him through his generations. It wasn't preached to him or it wasn't imparted to him. He didn't learn these things through what he was taught. But God wants that broken, folks. He wants to start you and me with an understanding for our children and our children's children and our children's children's children. And stop the thought that the children of the world are wiser than the children of life. They don't have to be. We can do it. How many sees you can do it? Now, what do you have to do? Well, you got to kind of get things straightened out in your life. You got to get your finances under control. You got to understand that there's going to be a little emergencies that come along. You got to get set up for that. But you got to get started. You got to start. Don't be like me and wait till you get 40, 45 years old before you start moving in this stuff. Go ahead now. Do something. $6 a day, $40 a week. You can somehow do some stuff with finances. Turk's been counseling some people about getting their, right now with the financial interest rates down, consolidating some things so you loose up some money so that you can do some of this. Hey, if you can only pay 6% interest and you can take that money that you're paying now at 9 or 10% interest and invest it and get it 12% interest, how many knows you're coming out on top? You got to think. You got to put some things together. You got to start. Break the curse. Break it. You see, it can happen. It can happen. I can have several hundred thousands of dollars by the time I'm 65 years old. My children are getting this right now. I'm not boasting. Lance, how many thousands of dollars do you have right now? $9,000. That's pretty good. I didn't have $9,000 when I was 22 years old, 25 years old. I have nothing, did I? What did we have? Nothing. $50 a week. Bonnie's got her own little business. She's cooking. She married this guy that's going to make millions of dollars. Think. Put it together. It's there. It's available. I just, you know, I'm done. But just these thoughts come to us. You know, I see the country music and the pop music, hard rock music. And every week it seems like there's a newcomer on the scene. Every week it seems like, you know, you see on the news where so-and-so is singing and so-and-so is... And all of a sudden, overnight, they become millionaires. And my thought is this, is folks, it's out there. It's out there to be made. It's out there. All you got to do is find out how to do it and do it. It's out there. People become millionaires every day. It's available. It's there to be gotten. But what we've got to learn is change our mentality that poor is not good. Rich is better. Poor is all right. But God wants us to really prosper. And I might deal with the scriptures that are in the contrary, where it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven, to the kingdom of God, than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You've got to understand, this guy was greedy. He wouldn't give away anything. You see, Dr. Cash tells us all the time, man, the way not to be a servant of unrighteous mammon is to give it away. You got to develop that into you. That's the 811 deal. You got to understand that you got to give it to God. You got to give it to people. But you got to give yourself some, too. It's all an understanding. It's all there in the scriptures for you. God has a program. He wants us to be wealthy. Now, I really don't know why the Lord is leading us into this direction, but I do want you to know that this is very big in me right now. May have some little financial seminars. I don't know. We may just let somebody just come in and share with us some principles that'll maybe click a light on for us. I know that from a biblical perspective, which is what my responsibility is to give to you, from a biblical perspective, Jesus Christ wants us to take the money that He's given to us and compound it. And when He comes again, He's going to look and He's going to see how we handled it. That will in itself determine what eternity will be for us. That's the Bible. I want to share with you also, money is life. Now, I'm not going to do it today. Just giving you some things. I don't know how much longer I'll do this. A couple of weeks, probably. But money is life. Your life is worth something. You're a $3 an hour man or a woman or a $5 an hour person or a $100 a day person or a $200 a day person. But somehow in the world system, which we are in, not of, but in, there is a monetary amount that's placed on our life. Your life is valued somehow in money. Do you have insurance? Then how much are you worth? There is something about money that puts a monetary value on our life, because there's an influence that goes with it. There's a power. There's an authority. God wants us to be powerful and authoritative people in our area. Do we understand this? Think about it. If we were all millionaires, think about that. My goodness! Woo! Yeah, Dr. Cash talking about taking care of everything. We just take care of everything. So you see what I'm saying? There's it's there, it's available. Also, another thing I'm going to show us is forgiveness. When Jesus teaches forgiveness in this chapter, Jesus teaches forgiveness. Again, He uses money. One of the hardest things to forgive people for is when they stick it to you monetarily. When they stick you, they just take that knife and stick you monetarily. It's hard to forgive them. But according to that, forgiveness, incorporated in the word forgiveness, is the word give. These are dynamics of money. Dynamics of money. Joy today, we've seen, is associated with money. It's better to have it than not to have it. I'm a lot happier with it than I am without it. I don't serve it. Understand that. Now, we've talked about all this. I hope I've laid all that foundation. You don't serve it. But you take it and you use it and you make friends with it. You secure your future with it. And the future of your children, you can do it. Is this all right? Are you enjoying this series? Is it enlightening to us? Let's stand.